to keep mine in my veins. Good singing all the way around. I appreciate the good singing, the good gospel singing. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis. And all the while, this is a fine day, and not just because it's Mother's Day, but I'm glad we've got a nice day because it is Mother's Day. And we're trying to remember, acknowledge all of our mothers, and many of you, like myself and my wife, our mothers have already passed to the other side. And let me tell you, now we're in the ranks and the roles where they used to be. Chapter 3, verse 20 in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and about verse number 20. If you find the place, then if you're able to stand, we'll look there in the passage. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil and a demon assigned to hinder, we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Maybe there's somebody that's lost without God that needs the Lord. This could be the day. This could be the hour. Maybe there's somebody, Lord, something that just got a heavy heart. And this could be the time they get it lifted. Now, whatever the need is, Lord, thou knowest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. Now, as you look into this Bible, you'll find I want to preach in this title, The Blessing of Motherhood. Now, the reason why that I wanted to go that route and that route is because of the fact is that Eve was the mother of all living. Did you notice she was called by her husband, called woman? And then you'll find that because she was taken out of the man, according to Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 23. She's called Eve here in the lesson because that she's the mother of all living. Let me say to you that number one in this sermon here, that motherhood is under attack. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but motherhood is under attack. And if they can destroy motherhood, they've got a pretty good leg up on it. They destroy motherhood, they'll destroy the home. You know why, don't you, ladies? Because God intended that you be a keeper at home and to guide the house and see that God's word was carried out with your children. We live in a world that somehow or another they want to get rid of all the pronouns of he and she that and all that business there. But let me tell you right now is that make no mistake about it, is that mothers are a vessel of reproduction. Now listen, you show me somebody that's not a real bona fide mother, and I'll show you somebody that doesn't know how to be able to reproduce and to be able to take children under their wing, under their arm. And I'm not just talking about birthing them in. We got a lot of people that are not mothers that are cranking them out, you know. And of course, why wouldn't they want to when the government will pay you for each one of them that you do crank out? And most of the time, you know, you go into a city and there's a lady that's got a string of kids, all of them different daddies, of course. No wonder the country's in the shape it's in. It's dead in trespasses and sins without God, and it's going to hell in a handbasket. Let me say to you that, if you will, that whenever you look into this, you're a vessel of reproduction. And I want to say, and I'm not just talking about giving birth, it may involve that, but it's going to involve somebody somewhere that has given birth. And let me tell you, that's all they've ever done. And here you are training up children to be in the love and nurture and admonition of God. And that's the mark of motherhood. Let me say to you, is that she not only is a vessel of reproduction, she's a vessel of refreshing. I don't know about you, but I think about, you know, whenever a mother's looked at, we think of the care that you've given. We think of the comfort that you've given. You just seem, ladies, you just seem to make things better. Amen. Now, I don't know, some of you, you know, and I'm always teasing these boys right here and all that business there and about being mama's boys and this and that. That's not a bad thing. I was a mama's boy myself. Amen. See? And let me say to you that, if you will, is that she could just seem like that when the going was rough, she could just seem to make things better. in this lesson you're looking at, I want to tell you something. When you're a mother, you've given yourself to not only train up children in the love and nurture and admonition of the Lord, but to be able to teach him. You know what your big job's been, and you're commended. If I had a hat, I'd tip it to you. But you know what your job is? You're to teach young men to act like little boys and young men. We've lost that in the country. You're to teach young ladies, you know it's all right that if you want to teach, listen, I'm going to show you how to be strong. You can just body slam your husband, that little wimp, and beat the snot out of him. And you probably can, but you ought not to. You ought to at least build his confidence and low self-esteem by letting him every now and again. You know? You ought to at least every now and again to know that you're helping train him. See? I mean, he don't want to just sit around like a whipped dog all the time in the corner until you, come on, Fido, get up here a minute. I want to say to you that, if you will, that teaching boys to be boys, that's a task. Teaching girls to be girls, that's a task. And let me say to you that, if you will, that sometimes you're going to have to be tough. You ever hear the term tough love? Well, sometimes you got to render a little tough love. I know all of your kids, and some of you are going to have to render more than a little. But it's, you know, it doesn't turn out to be a finished product that'll bring glory to God without you putting forth some effort. And sometimes it takes tough love. In this lesson that you're looking at, you know, you'll find out sometimes it takes a little tenderness. Now, you know, as a man, it's not hard for us to be rough and gruff and tough and all that business. But, you know, sometimes a kid needs more than just that. Sometimes they need a little tenderness. You know, the reason why that you've got kids that are like they are, you spoiled them. You know why? More tender than tough. Not knocking that. I like that more tender myself. You know, they was talking about, and they mentioned, let me tell you right now, son, all these boys and girls and kids and grandkids that we've had, I promise you right now, I'm too old and stove up to be able to stay up with the great grandson. And let me tell you what, buddy, you can give him something and he'll liable to hug your neck or he'll liable to club you with it, one of the two. And as a result of that, you know, I'm sure that he's every now and again going to get his britches dusted a little bit. I want to say that sometimes it's going to take a toughness, sometimes a tenderness. And I don't know about you, but I always liked it whenever they was babying me and I'd get in trouble and so forth and on. I was a pretty good boy. But the sisters brought it out in me. I've quit talking about some of the things that I've done, but they had to pay a price. But I thought, you know, I better quit saying any of that stuff. Some of these others will be trying it. I got to tell you something right now is that as a mother, you're a tough person, you're a tender person, you're a timely person. You came along just in time to be able to give some expertise and some correction. In fact is, as a mother in a timely fashion, sometimes it's going to take a little bit of correction. But you know, I've noticed something about that, that when you're correcting them, it produces crying sometimes because they're embarrassed. You'll find out is that when a kid's crying, they're pleading for a little comfort. And you know, here's what I've noticed, is that about the blessedness of motherhood, that I've seen some of these little old boys and girls. I've seen you had to get on to them sometime. I've seen you have to bust them. I've seen you had to, and boy, just the reprimand of you. You know, anybody else can get, they'll fuss, they'll fight, and they'll come back. You ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy. They tell each other that, you know. They don't like sibling rivalry. But I got to tell you right up front, I've seen sometimes you mamas had to grab that child up and had to use the rod of education upon them and humiliation. And man, they'd pout and pucker and cry. And did you ever notice when they're like that, they're going to come right to you that just got through doing that? Do you know why that is? They can't find anybody else that's more comforting than their mama. That's the way that it ought to be. That's the blessedness of motherhood. That's the reason why all our kids were so spoiled. I tried to make them do right. Yeah, go ahead and make a rebel out of it. I got to say to you that, if you will, that the blessing of motherhood is simply this, is that whenever you have to correct them and they are crying, they're pleading for comfort, I can tell you who they want it from. They want it from you. It ain't a matter of, well, wait till your daddy gets home. You know, he's the one, he's the easy one around here. And he'll love you and hug you up, and I'm not going to touch you. No, no, mothers don't do that. Mothers may remind them, whenever your daddy gets home, he's going to finish this up. Because, but come on now. But just remember when daddy gets home. Daddy gets home, he wants to look like the hero. Make you look like the bad person. Good cop, bad cop. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that the word Eve there is mentioned. You know, you'll find that he's called her Eve, and the Bible said, did you notice something? You know, we're always talking about what Miss Eve did. Not this Eve, but Miss Eve and the very first woman's there. Did you stop to realize, though, she had no books to read? She had no friends to fellowship with? She had absolutely nobody else to be able to look up to as a mother or a father? No. No mate made from a rib out of her husband's side. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that you have to recognize and realize that sometimes we're limited in maybe what we know, but it's not an impossible task. I got to say to you, sometimes you've got to hold them babies. Now, mind you, is that by the time a kid, you know, gets 25 or 30, they look a little odd in your lap. We don't have anybody like that. Well, I mean, except when Brother Darrell's been sitting in Miss Juanita's lap and she's trying to make him feel better. She admitted that, you know, that's the biggest task she has. If we all of us were honest, that's the way it is, isn't it? Isn't that right? I mean, don't you ever now and again, fellas, just want to lock the door and put the kids outside and don't let them in, ignore the beating and hammering. Please let me in, it's supper time and all that. Go away, your mama's comforting me. Sometimes you've got to hold them, and sometimes you have to hide them. You remember that woman over there in the book of Hebrews, Moses' mama, seeing that he was a goodly child, and she hid him for 3 months. I'm going to tell you something. How'd you like to have a baby born that the ruler and Pharaoh and all the imps of hell was trying to kill it? And sometimes you have to hide your child from some of the junk that's being taught in this world that we're living in. You know, since the day you got saved, the devil's been after you. He's been after your mind. He's after your family. He's after somehow or another. And let me say, ladies, is that once again, it's good that you have been involved in motherhood and taking care of training and hiding and holding. And then sometimes you've got to holler. You know, there's a passage over there, and I think it's in the book of Isaiah. And I think it's probably in Isaiah in chapter 53. Let me look and see if that's the right passage that I'm looking for. And let me say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, and that's not it, chapter 58, Isaiah. Sometimes you have to holler. And, you know, some of these children, here's what they're going to say. Wait, what? Do you have to holler at me? Yes, we do. Do you realize at all that in the day and hour that we're living in, there's some preachers across the land that say, I don't ever holler at my congregation. That's why he's such a sorry preacher. Did you realize, though, that in chapter 58, verse number 1, when he said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Now, is there any question about it? Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. In other words, there's sometimes you're going to have to raise your voice a little bit. Sometimes you are. And you know what's bad, don't you? Mama says, all right, young man or young lady, you wait till your daddy gets home. And when daddy gets home, now aren't you ashamed that mama had to raise her voice at you? I know you didn't mean it. She just sometimes needs to holler. I can tell you, I'm ashamed to tell you, I am ashamed to tell you that my mama had to whip me nearly every day. I was framed with a lot of it, you know. They didn't know how to take me. She beat on me some one time to where she just about collapsed. And I thought, oh, man, that's going to be a bad. I'm going to have to lighten up. I'd like to eat supper here tonight if I could. Sometime they're going to have to raise your voice at you. I think the reason why that it is because God intended that a preacher be able to get your attention. Mama ought to get your attention. Daddy ought to be able to get your attention. And let me tell you, the next time one of your children, well, you don't have to holler at me. Yes, we do. Yeah. All right, I can see right now y'all are needing a nap. I want to say to you that not only is it time sometimes to holler at them, but number four is you ought to help them. You remember when you started trying to teach them how to walk, you thought they never would walk. Now that they're walking, put that down. Don't touch that. Oh, what? If you touch it, now it's threatening. You had to teach them how to talk. You had to teach them how to read. You had to teach them how to write. You had to teach them how to be respectable. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. You know, I remember whenever my daddy would holler about, you know, and let me say to you that the word Dennis was used a lot at our house. And whenever they'd holler, Dennis, I better not just holler, what? If I did, here's what I heard. What'd you say? I meant, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. We've lost that. Yes, you know, I remember whenever we were, I forget how old Samuel was, but big enough to know the difference and know better. And we went somewhere and listened to some preacher and the guy asked him something, and he said, yes, sir. And the next time it was a no, sir. And the guy said, oh, you ain't got to say yes or no, sir, to me. I said, oh, yes, he does. Yes, sir, man. Yes, he does. See? And let me say to you that, if you will, that when you taught them how to read and write and be respectful, that means yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. We've lost that in the country. But I want to tell you something else, not only to help them, but you find out the mark of holiness. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at, is that after you've done such a good job, isn't it amazing, all you boys and girls, let's see here, especially all you teenagers, isn't it amazing how smart you've become and how dumb your mama's become? I wonder how that happened. All of a sudden, it's just like a switch in your mind, just flipped. Now, you're just smarter than anybody. Yes. Young men, you know, once they go to carrying that billfold and got their own comb that they can comb their hair with, and, you know, and here they are, they're busy. And, boy, you can't tell them nothing, especially when they get a driver's license. And girls are just like the same like that. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, the day and hour that we're living in, that we got young ladies that are growing up. They don't know how to wash. They don't know how to iron. They don't know how to sew. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to take care of them. You know, our job, girls, is to be able to learn how to prepare for your own life. And same way with you young men. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, and then I'm going to get off of it and go on. It's just amazing how that after all your mama's taught you, you become so much smarter than what she is. Now, I want to tell you, mamas, God bless you. because God knows that you're not the only ones going through or having gone through. But let me say to you in closing, I hope and trust that you've been a good example of a holy mother in the home. If you don't, you know the first time mothers are mentioned there in the book of Genesis, and over in the last time mothers mentioned is over there in the book of Revelation when he terms it the mother of harlots. I tell you what I think God's trying to say to you, at least in one example. If you don't exercise some holiness in your home, you'll have to deal with harlotry in the end. See that? I want to say to you mamas, happy Mother's Day. What a blessing that motherhood is. And God bless you. God bless you for the good job that you've done. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. Help them, strengthen them. Lord, carry the burden of their hearts upon you. And Lord, I pray you'd answer everything that have answered in accordance to thy will. Now bless, I pray, each and every one that's represented here today and be with those that could not be. Bless Brother Darrell as he preaches tonight. We'll thank you in advance.